Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we get to continue our sermon series, 5G for a Better Life. And basically what we've been looking at is five gifts from God that enhance our lives as Christians. Now, if you looked ahead, today's topic is called Give Mercy. So naturally, we're going to be talking a little bit about mercy. So when I say that word, mercy, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? When I first thought about it, I thought of things like forgiveness, compassion, human aid. But I found a definition that I really think captures the biblical sense of what mercy is. And if you would, write this down on your sermon note page so that you can have it as we work through God's word today. Mercy is a love that responds to human need in an unexpected or unmerited way. There's one word in here that is so important: unmerited. True mercy is not earned. It is not merited. It is simply a gift. But let's get right down to it. When we talk about mercy, are we good at giving mercy? And the truth is, not really. We are not very good at giving real and true mercy. And I think there's a reason for this. I think there's a reason why our world has a mercy problem. A problem with giving, a problem with receiving mercy. And I think it's right there in this definition. Our problem is with merit. We live in a culture where everything must be earned, where you must be worthy of what you get, where you must have merit in order to receive. And because of that, mercy is hard to come by. It's woven into our culture, this American culture, where the American dream for a long time has been that you can become more than you were born into, that your family name and your inheritance is not what you will result in, is not what you will become, but you can pull yourself up by your own hard work, by your own worthiness, by your own merit, that it is the individual who can rise above. But sometimes that concept, it becomes a problem when it comes to giving and receiving mercy, because we have it built into our heads that everything must be earned. And I speak of America, but it's not just an American problem. This is a human problem. On every heart are written the words that I must do this myself. In every culture, there is the idea that you must earn your way, that you reap what you sow, that good is repaid with good, that evil is repaid with evil. And this idea that we must earn it, it has consequences. It is a great challenge to giving mercy and compassion, because mercy and compassion, by their very definition, are unmerited. And when we live in a place where everything must be merited, mercy is not given away so easily. But yet, mercy does still exist in our culture. We all can say we've been shown mercy. We all at times have given mercy and compassion. But I wonder, is that mercy we're used to, is it true and real mercy? Or is even our mercy corrupted by the concept of we must earn it, by the concept of human merit? So think about it. Think about the mercy you give. Think about the mercy we give in our culture. Is it truly without merit? And I think most of the times, it's not. Let me give you an example. Paying for college, as you know now, is quite a difficult task. For a four-year university, most people cannot pay for that on their own. So we have ways in which we allow people to do this. Scholarships and financial aid are the two main ones, other than parents helping out. But are these things real mercies? Are they real bits of compassion? Because a scholarship, by definition, usually has something that has to be earned. Either you need a certain GPA or a certain IQ or a certain test score. Maybe you need to know somebody or be in the right club. Maybe you need to be able to write a profound essay. Maybe you just need a life story of overcoming adversity that really makes you someone who will fit at this place. All of those things are ways that mercy must be earned. But okay, maybe financial aid, something that is set aside just for those who don't quite have the means, maybe that is a true mercy. But even financial aid has boxes you must check brackets you must fit into, and at the end of it, you usually have to pay it back with interest. Is it a true mercy? And this is just one example of places where merit gets in the way of real mercy. So think about it. Think about the times in your life where mercy is given, where mercy is received. Are those real mercies? Or does the mercy you give have to be deserved? Is the mercy you give reserved for those who have shown kindness or mercy to you in the past? Is it reserved for people who you think would show you mercy should you need it? Is it reserved for those who are in your community, in your family, your friend group, your church? Is mercy reserved only for those who have a good enough story, who have some unfair circumstance in their life that tugs at your heartstrings? All of these are places where mercy, in a way, must be earned, must be deserved, must be merited. We have allowed this concept of merit and worthiness to leak into our mercy, to where mercy is really not mercy at all. Just one more thing that must be earned in this life. And sadly, this also complicates our ability to ask for mercy. This also complicates our ability to receive mercy. Oftentimes, we don't ask for mercy because we think we don't deserve it. Oftentimes, we cannot receive mercy gratefully because deep down we feel, I must pay this back, either to the person who gave us the mercy or pay it forward in a sense, be a good enough person to have earned that mercy, a sort of karma-like way of thinking about it. But the truth is, we've allowed merit, worthiness, the concept of I must earn it, to skew our perception of what mercy really is. And the worst part of this is it has a ripple effect on our faith. How often does the devil speak lies into our ears, as he did with Adam and Eve long ago? The lie that says, you are not good enough to deserve this love. You're not good enough to have God's mercy. Surely you must earn it on your own. Surely it cannot be free. You need to earn this like everything else. And you can't earn it. You're not good enough. Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt that you weren't good enough to receive God's love? Have you ever felt so sinful that you can't even bring yourself to ask for His forgiveness? Have you ever allowed your own sin to keep you at a distance from God because you don't feel like you can be loved? Maybe you are in this place right now. Maybe you've been there before. And if we're being honest, we all, at one stage or another, have been there to some degree or another, that place where we convince ourselves we have to do it on our own and that we aren't good enough to receive God's love. And here's the truth. We feel that way because, in honesty, we aren't good enough for God's love. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's right there for us. We are in a constant state of choosing our will over God's will. And because of that, it's true, we don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His compassion. We don't deserve His forgiveness. In a world where we must earn everything, we have not earned His love. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us at His mercy. And thankfully, our God chose mercy over merit. Our God chose mercy in the purest sense of the word, unmerited and unexpected. He demanded nothing of us. He needed nothing from us. And we confess this every week in our creed. If you look at the first article of the creed and Luther's explanation, you see this laid out nicely for us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and that He still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. Now pause there for a second. All these things, God's response to human needs. And the question is, why does he give them to us? Now look at the next line. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. It's all mercy. Unmerited gifts from a loving God. Why? Because we are his children. Because we are his. It's not something we have to earn. It just is because we are his. And I hope that you can relate to this imagery, the imagery of fatherly love, of parental love, because many of us know the love parents have for us, or the love that we have for our own children, a love that does not need anything in return, a love that doesn't need to be earned, but a love that simply is because they are our children and they are our parents. And that is as close, I think, to God's love as we will ever see on earth. You know, as I say that, I know it's a broken world. I know not everybody knows what a parent's love feels like. And for those of you who may be in that situation, I urge you with the rest of us to look to God and his love. To look to his love as the only place of pure and real love in the world. The only place where nothing will be expected of you, where love will simply be a gift, a great mercy. But here's the thing. Our God, his mercy, it is for all people. His mercy is for all people, not because they deserve it, but because they are his creation. And that mercy, it meets our needs without our merit, without our worthiness, without anything on our part. God's love is the only thing in the world that requires nothing from us. It just is because God is love. And that love, it responded not only to our human earthly needs, but also to our greatest need, our need for a Savior, our need for a Redeemer. God responded to that need, the need for life when all we deserved was death. He responded to that by giving his son Jesus to die on that cross for us. And on that cross, we saw what real mercy looked like. As Jesus was crucified there, as he bore the weight of our sins, as he bore the death that we deserved, there were two other men there crucified with him. One of these men reached out and appealed to his mercy. He said, "Jesus, remember me in your kingdom." And now there's something we need to know about this man. He did not deserve God's mercy. He did not deserve his love. He didn't have any merit in him. He was a convicted felon. He wasn't a follower of Jesus. He was unlikely a follower of any of the Jewish customs. And even worse than all of this, he had mocked Jesus just a few hours before this. And here he is asking for mercy. And Jesus simply says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That is mercy. Unmerited, undeserved, unexpected. Done simply out of fatherly love and goodness. That is God's mercy for us. That is God's mercy for you. So you may ask yourself, Pastor Aaron is a little off topic right now. Isn't this sermon about giving mercy? And it is. But here's the thing. You must receive mercy before you can truly give mercy. You must receive his mercy before you can understand real mercy. And our God has lavished that mercy upon you, both in your earthly needs, but most importantly, in your spiritual needs, by giving Jesus to die for us. So what's next? What is our next move after receiving and understanding his mercy? Well, look at the last line in our explanation of the creed here. After Luther tells us about all that God has given us, all the needs he has responded to, and after telling us the reason for which God does it, pure, simple, fatherly love and mercy, we are told what we are to do next. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. How do we do that? How do we thank and praise our Father in heaven for the mercy he has shown us? Well, I point you back to Scripture, to one of the most important verses in the Bible, one that we know well, Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That part is the mercy part. It's free, it's undeserved, it's unmerited, but that's not the end. Paul goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." His mercy, it's for a purpose, for a reason, that we may respond to do what he has planned for us. And know this, your good works, they have nothing to do with your salvation. Your good works have nothing to do with God's mercy for you. That mercy is already there. But God's mercy for you has everything to do with why we do good works. For you were created, redeemed, and given mercy that you may share that mercy. And finally, we get to our text for this morning from 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort by which we ourselves have been comforted. This was his plan from the beginning, to give us mercy that we may share that mercy, a real mercy, his mercy, mercy that does not expect anything in return. We are called to give physical mercy, as God has given us our earthly clothing and needs and food and drink and shelter. We are called to provide those things for those in need. We are called also to give emotional compassion, to give love, to bear the burdens of those who are hurting, just as God has put people in place in our lives to help us bear those burdens. And most importantly, we are called to give spiritual mercy, to give spiritual mercy by simply sharing the message we have already been given, the message that says that you, like me, are God's own child, that you are loved with a love that demands nothing in return, a love that surpasses all of our understanding. For us to give mercy, we can give mercy only because he first gave it to us. We understand real mercy only because the amount of mercy he has lavished upon us. We can give comfort only because of the comfort he has already given us. Giving mercy, it enhances our lives because in order to give mercy, you better understand God's mercy. When we are able to give true mercy, we help ourselves better understand the mercy that we have already been given. A mercy that says, despite our own unworthiness, our God loves us. He has chosen us. He died for us. And he has set aside a place for us. We can give mercy only because of his mercy. A love that we don't deserve. A love that we will never have to earn. And thanks be to God that he chose mercy over merit. Amen.